Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Welcome to Early Call Time. My name is Nadav. I'm here with Andrew.
Hi.
JJ is not here. He is working on a co-edit for Scorpion right now. And over here we have our guest, Mr. Brian Freeman.
Hello.
Welcome.
Who is a camera assistant. AC.
Thank you for having me.
For short.
I like that little intro.
So we know Brian. I went to high school with Brian. I've decided that now I'm just going to run through all my high school friends that are now also in the industry.
There are a few.
Yeah. I realized looking at my high school yearbook that a lot of them actually work in the industry now. So that's a whole bunch of guests we could tap into, Andrew.
It sure is, Nadav.
So stuff that Brian has worked on, he's done really cool stuff. Me and him always worked on stuff together. Most recently, he shoots Audi commercials in the desert. He works on Childish Gambino music videos.
Did one this weekend, yeah.
He worked on some Andy Samberg projects a while back.
I did.
Really cool stuff. So we're going to find out what other stuff he works on, how he started working on it, and other stuff.
Very articulate.
And go.
Okay.
We're going to leave the room while you just tell everyone.
So it all started in middle school. Oh, shit. Okay. I remembered.
Well, it started as making high school videos and middle school videos.
In middle school. Yeah. In middle school, me and you made a whole bunch of videos together that are very stupid.
Very stupid.
Like us dancing.
Very dated.
Uh-huh. Nice. My balls haven't dropped yet, so my voice is very high.
Voices.
Jufro.
Terrible edits and star swipes. Mm-hmm. iMovie stuff.
Horrible plot lines, too. Like, there was one that we did called Pie in the Face, where it was just Brian, all these different scenarios, Brian would just hit me in the face with a pie.
Not enough people do that, though. I think that's...
It's underrated.
You talk about it, but to actually do it...
Here's what's weird, is that video, without us posting it anywhere, got the most views organically than anything else. It got, like, 1,000 views within, like, a couple months of me posting it. Mm-hmm. And then it got a comment from someone that me and Brian don't know, and it just said, this video is, like, a hilarious concept. I was like, oh, how nice. So I decided to click on his name and see what other stuff that he liked and watched. And it's all, like, feet stuff. Like, it's all people just, like, putting whipped cream on feet and sucking feet, like, on YouTube. And it's like, what the fuck was he doing when he was watching this video of two middle schoolers throwing, cream pies at each other?
That is hilarious. Yeah, I actually did not know that.
That really creeped me out. Yeah, so now you know, Brian.
Now I know.
Someone jerks off to videos that we made.
I can share that story now.
So we made videos together. Brian is actually the reason why I got into editing.
That's a nice compliment.
You know, you'd say that, but the exact context of that sentence is because I remember we shot something, and then, like, every week I'd be like, yo, Brian, did you start working on it yet? You're like, nah, not yet, man. And I'd be like, hey, Doc, how about you teach me how to edit? Because I got tired of waiting for it not being done yet.
Yes, I'm not the best teacher all the time.
Well, taught me enough, man. Look at me now, dude.
They're doing big things.
So Brian is kind of the reason why I got on my editing path. And then Brian was always the camera guy. He always had that JVC Pro camera.
Sony 8 Handycam, yep, the high 8 tapes.
Yep.
Oh my God. Recently me and Brian started, we were just screening all of the videos that we made in high school, and it is so horrible.
Yeah.
It's like Terminator movies starring me and Brian and our other friends.
It's when you get to the mini DV tapes, you know you're a pro. That's your step up.
That's what I shot my high school movie on, was the mini DV.
Mini DV.
We made it.
I don't even think you can play those anymore.
I bought a camera on Amazon that plays, just plays the high 8 tape.
Right.
Because I had some stuff on high 8 tapes and almost all of them are empty. So I don't know what happened. It disappeared.
Yep.
It's like, I don't even know how to play my mini DVs anymore.
Well, what came after tape? What did it record on after? Do they still? Well,
there was
still
DV.
Mini DV.
There was DV, then mini DV,
right?
Then DVD.
But is mini DV still a thing? Like, I don't know what a prosumer, like, family home video camera would be.
I think they're hard. Like, I got one for Christmas for my parents.
They just
last
all
year.
Record on, like, SD cards now or something, right?
SD card, but this one's just a drive. It's, you just plug it into the computer.
Okay, that would make sense, I think.
Yeah.
Still stick to it.
All right.
Okay.
We've come a long way since then.
Okay. Yeah. So we made a whole bunch of horrible videos, and then we graduated high school. What did you do after high school, dude?
I went to UC Santa Barbara as a gaucho.
As a gaucho?
Technically a film and media studies major, but that may be misleading because it's not like an NYU or USC. They teach you like film history and like film theory.
Okay.
And so there's a little bit of production, but I'd say Santa Barbara was more of a life experience as opposed to a professional experience.
Party.
So like, yeah, I made a couple made some student films and like old 16 millimeter cameras, and you take the basic production classes, but
overall you learned how to die while drinking. How to not die while drinking.
Surprisingly, you can be very productive and have a good time at that school.
Huh.
And it's actually might be kind of the reason I got into cinematography is because it really is such a pretty place.
Yeah.
And it's such a diverse culture, and just the things I would see. Well, just to back up a little bit, the reason I like photography is because sometimes I feel like I see things in an interesting way that other people's might not, mm-hmm. may not. I mean, that's the whole point of it all. So I want to find a way to capture that and kind of express it. I mean, some people play music, some people sing, some people do whatever talent they have. But
yeah, I remember when we would hang out like on our like winter breaks and stuff, like you would show me like, because you had bought a film camera and you just started like taking B-roll, like stock footage of just Santa Barbara, like scenery.
A Bolex, a 16 millimeter Bolex. Yeah. I bought that on Amazon with all the money I made from working at Photochem one summer, which is where you had a brief stint. Photochem is a post-production lab in Burbank. I'm sure you passed by.
I had an interview there. Nothing.
An interview there. Yes.
It was a very brief stint.
Yeah. It was about an
hour. Thanks for coming in.
It's about a 30 minute stint. Okay, so hold on. So tell us about Photochem. What did you do at Photochem?
I was an intern.
What is Photochem?
Photochem is a post-production lab that deals with film, mm-hmm. which is non-existent anymore. It's probably one of three, if that, mm-hmm. post-production labs left doing this. But say in the 90s, so with all the big blockbuster movies, they're all shooting 35mm film, and they get dailies the next day. So you shoot everything, and you don't see what you shot until the following day because it goes to the lab overnight. They process it. So that's basically what Photochem does.
Mm-hmm. Right. Drop off. It's like when you would drop your roll of film that you took on your disposable camera.
Exactly. Except instead of like a little roll, it's thousands and thousands of feet of film.
And instead of 1 hour, it takes like 24 hours.
And they do the developing process. They do neg cutting. They do projection there.
What is neg cutting?
Quality control. Well, like you guys are – well, there's a lot of editors in this group, and you know, you put a digital hard drive in, you load all the clips, you splice it all together. They didn't have computers back in the day.
Right.
So they used to actually physically go through the film, tangible film, mm-hmm. and literally cut and splice, cut and paste different strips of film together. How tedious and mind-blowingly comprehensive that is.
Yeah, on a moviola.
Well, I mean, imagine cutting a two-hour movie like that with your hands. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But that's just an art that they don't do anymore. So you know that's what's crazy
is that back when they used to do that, like all editors actually used to be women because they would see like splicing together stuff, like they related it to sewing. And they're like, well, who's good at this? Women are good at this.
Little hands.
Like, it takes a little nurturing. And then after a while, they're just like, oh, this is like a real art form. And then they just started bringing more.
We can't have women doing this.
Yeah, like, we can't trust the women with this job. Although, actually, like, women are actually some of the better editors, like, in some projects that I've seen.
There's unbelievable women in every field. Reed Morano is a great
Tarantino's TV. Editor is a woman. Yeah.
Kid Rock's drummer, also a woman.
Oh, wow.
So I did not know that.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so you
I like Kid Rock.
So tell us more. So tell us more about Photochem. You got an internship there?
Yeah, as an intern there. I think it might have been a little premature because
how did you get it?
I knew, of course, with Hollywood, it's all like favors and who you know. But I knew somebody in an agency who had a contact there, and this is like my first year out of college, like freshman year.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have to get school credit for it?
No school credit. It was just my own personal gain.
Gotcha.
And they didn't really know what to do with me there because I didn't have an intern, so I kind of just jumped around different departments. But I basically got a feel of just the whole post-production process of film.
Cool.
I mean, now it's more digital, so they threw a lot of info at me that would have been – I would have been able to comprehend a lot more had I had another year of, like, schooling and understood more of the photography side of it. But right. It was a nice introduction to pushing me towards cinematography and into camera work. Because we were shooting tests, and I was playing with cameras, and it kind of got me – more motivated to shoot.
Do you ever break one of the cameras? You're like, oh my God.
No, I have a good track record. I've never broken anything, I don't believe.
Nothing's ever been your fault?
Not even a few hearts.
I wish.
Okay, so you interned at Photochem. And you did that for one summer, or did you do that for multiple summers?
That was one summer. That was like early on in college. And I did a production company.
So what was after Photochem? And then, like, were you able to build contacts there? Like, were you able to build your network from there? Or was it all just like, oh, hopefully I'll get something?
No, I mean, if you fast forward a little bit, my contacts really started when after college. Because, like I said, Santa Barbara's not like a USC or an NYU or a Chapman. Where like, you're not going to school with the future directors and producers and DPs that you're going to be working with.
Working with future alcoholics.
Yeah, like I said, it was a life experience.
Alcoholics.
Yeah.
So you get out of school and it's an industry, as a lot of industries, who you know, who's going to get you the job, who's going to help you out. And you're like, how the hell am I going to get a network? So I'm like, the first couple months out, you're like on Craigslist or Mandy.com.
Yep.
Right.
Or like production something.org. There's a few
production
out there.
Hub or something.
Production Hub, yeah. So like I did a handful of those things, low budget, no budget. When you first start out, it's like copy credit meal.
Yep.
That's what you get.
So you see on Craigslist all the time.
Yes. Which once you get in it, you realize it's such bullshit, but that's how you start. So I did that for several months and I'm like, this is so lame.
Yeah, you do that just so that your resume isn't blank when you actually start
and like people. I learned a little bit. I probably made one legitimate contact in those several months, and he was a DP I did a few things with. He told me about this program at Panavision Hollywood. It's basically like a 2-year internship. So I mean, you're a full-time employee, you're there.
Is it paid or unpaid? Or
paid, just like a regular employee. Just the understanding is after 2 years you leave. So basically your first year is in shipping and receiving.
Okay.
So, I mean, Panavision is one of the bigger camera houses. When I used to tell people what I do, you wait till the end of the credits of the movies, you see cameras by Panavision or lenses by Panavision. Right. So that's how people identify it. But they manufacture and rent out cameras and lenses. They've been leading the industry.
Well, Panavision, like whenever I saw any pictures of like cameras with actual stock in it, Panavision was always across those reels.
It's the classic logo.
Yeah.
Like now in the digital world, there's all these Red cameras and Alexas and Sony's got a few.
Just
the market is diversified by me, but Panavision's still in the game because of their lenses, their glass, because they really are at the top of the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So shipping and receiving. So like what does your day-to-day look like over there?
Day-to-day. There's all the commercials, music videos, movies, TV shows coming in and out. So a lot of equipment is going in and out every day. So when you're shipping and receiving, your day starts and all the trucks drop off the gear that's coming up, coming back that day. So
In the morning?
In the morning, yeah. Cameras, lenses, support systems, filters, batteries, like everything that a whole camera package is. So you go through it. You make sure everything's working properly. It's all clean. Like that's where you kind of learn the gear.
And do you know that stuff like before? Because say, for example, it's your first day. They're like, all right, Brian, make sure all this shit works. And you're like, I don't know how any of this works to begin with. How do I know if it's broken?
Exactly. They're super cool. They know going into it that you're not going to know a lot because the camera side of things is extremely steep learning curve. Mm-hmm. So they train you, obviously. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you're holding a lens. It's like $100,000 in your hand, just like that.
Right.
Like these cameras are hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's why nobody owns this stuff because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And the insurance is just insane.
And no one works enough for that to be worth it.
Exactly. But yeah, they teach you how to, so you learn how to handle it properly and how to clean it properly, service it, and check for damage and quality control, all that. So that's basically the majority of your day. And then you do a lot of wrapping BNC, cleaning cases, all the tedious stuff around. And then at the end of the day, when all the jobs on the prep floor are ready to ship, you go out and you got to scan all the equipment, make sure everything on the order is there. It's all tucked away in all the cases. Then you load the trucks, just like a giant Tetris game. So that was my first year. That's kind of like the payoff is the second year when you're on the prep floor.
Okay. So what's the prep floor look like?
You become a prep tech.
Okay.
So say you want to shoot a music video. Mm-hmm. Say you have a Kid Rock music video coming in.
All right.
I like that we're on this Kid Rock stint.
There you go. So you call the marketing rep, you're like, I got a Kid Rock music video. Here's my budget. They put together an order. So the day before I get a piece of paper, it's like Kid Rock music video, Arri Alexa, 35 mm anamorphics, like 2 pages of all the equipment you need. Mm-hmm. So then you spend the day pulling all the equipment from the rental house, organizing it all in a prep bay. Mm-hmm. There's like focus charts and everything, tagging all the lenses, making sure everything's service ready to clean for the camera assistant to come in. So the following day, the camera assistant comes in and their job all day, which is what they do before every job, it's called a prep day. You go through everything, you make sure you have what you need. Every shot has a different camera configuration. It's basically like building an Erector set.
Okay.
You got to make sure all the lenses are sharp. If it's set at 10 feet, it's focused at 10 feet. Got to make sure everything, all the cables are working properly.
So if it's not focused at 10 feet, do you just go get a different lens, or is there like, do you,
they have to service it?
Okay.
So they call shimming it.
How does servicing a lens work?
I mean, lens optics is so far above my head. Like, it's absolutely crazy how these things are machined and manufactured.
Yeah. But they basically shim it. I've seen one like cut in half once, and I did not think there was that many like pulleys and levers and gears just always like, it is thick of just different push and shove systems.
Well, it's like glass within glass within glass.
Yeah.
And how they all refract off each other. Yeah. I mean, the people that build these things from scratch.
It scares me.
The head guy at Panavision Woodland Hills. Panavision Woodland Hills is like the mothership, the headquarters.
Okay.
Then there's Panavision all over the world. But Woodland Hills is like the mothership, and then Hollywood's like the boutique agency.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's kind of more like music video commercials and all like the big features. They go out of Woodland Hills usually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the head lens guy at Woodland Hills, his name is Dan Sasaki. And his job is like Chris Nolan and Wally Pfister are shooting The Dark Knight. They're like, I'm shooting on a large format camera. This lens doesn't exist. I need you to basically build me a lens.
Wow. Oh my God.
So Dan Sasaki, who has no formal training, by the way, like taught himself everything. He's like, all right, I got you. So he takes like all these old large format lenses, anamorphic lenses. He's shifting optics, and he basically just builds these DP's lenses. Like, I want these characteristics. And
all self-taught. That is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. So lens optics is like a whole nother beast that I don't even know.
Okay, so
about.
when it's not working properly, you give it to some other guy. It's
yes,
not like
it goes to the lens
I'm Brian,
department.
I got it.
No,
I got it.
Yeah, the surgeon.
No.
Like, oh yeah, you just dip it in water. That's not it, right?
I don't think they'd be happy. But I do know a story that there's a camera assistant with an Alexa is like the industry standard camera right now, the Arri Alexa.
Okay,
Arri is a huge. They did 435s, 235s. They've been in the business for a long time. But the director, they're in a pool basically, and there's like a housing, and the director's like, give me the camera, let me get this. And he's like, no, we're around water. Like, that's why camera systems are very protective of their gear, is because it's expensive. You know how to take care of it. And the director just takes it out of his hand, and he basically submerges the water bag, which is just meant to prevent splashes but not to be submerged.
Uh-huh.
And he put the whole camera and the lens system underwater in the pool, destroyed, and make $250,000 worth of gear just by doing this.
Does oh
by dipping
God.
In the water. Yeah, that's why you have insurance. But it's kind of crazy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's a good fuck-up story.
That's a good fuck-up
story. Damn, I wish I would have known it was coming. I would have played the new intro that I put together.
You want to play it anyway?
No. Do you have any other fuck-up stories?
Near fuck-up stories.
Perfect. All right, save that thought.
Okay.
Hold on.
That's pretty epic, though.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I mean, it's funny to see from your end, but
yeah,
when you realize what's actually happening, it's...
Have you ever seen that director work again?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I haven't worked with him since, but I'm sure he's working.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
The f*** are you doing?
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
So this is now a segment.
Got that?
Yeah.
That's great.
This is a new segment that we're putting together called Horror Stories. And so the idea is you... describe just the biggest fuck up you've ever seen happen in front of you. Either you're a part of it or you just witnessed it. Mm-hmm. But the story you just told perfectly fits under it.
It really does.
I have a good fuck up that I was not involved with, but I heard.
Okay.
It's a crazy story.
Let's hear it.
They're rigging up a camera on top of a ladder. It's just a lot of times. So yeah, a ladder, like a 12-step ladder.
Okay.
And you put like a hi-hat and the O'Connor head and the camera. It's a lot of really heavy stuff. So you got to ratchet it down there. Like, that's what grips do. Uh-huh. Grips on the crew. So they're in charge of like safety rigging. Like, you put a camera against a car, they rig it. They make sure it's there. It's tight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably easily over 100 pounds of like hard, sharp metal objects. It's supposed to be safely rigged on the top of this ladder.
Okay.
And I guess like one of the ratchets was loose. And someone went to like pan the camera and it tilted over and it fell and it smacked somebody straight on top of it. Basically, someone was standing under the ladder and it hit them and knocked them out cold.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised that's all it did.
Yeah, I mean, they survived, but that could have been.
How big of a drop was it?
I mean, like a 12 step ladder. Like,
oh my God.
It's enough.
That's a bad day at the office.
Yeah.
That's like the person whose fault that it wasn't tight, I'm sure, is having a hard time finding work now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, there's some risks in this business. I mean, I was talking with someone the other day about helicopter shots, like aerial. Like he's a helicopter pilot.
Quadcopter?
Oh, like, no, like actual like helicopter.
Manned,
like
manned power.
Yes.
Like manned
helicopter. Because they rig, you know, you see all the overhead and skyline shots. And
yeah, that's like rigged. Aerial shots.
Yeah, excuse me. And he's in the business for like 22 years. He's got like 18 helicopters all over the country, runs a lot of shows. And he was talking about the danger of it.
He's got 18 just production helicopters?
Yeah, he has a company. Like whenever production needs to shoot something, he's the guy they call. But he was saying how in all these years in the business, he's lost like 22 people.
What? Like they died?
Yeah, like died. And he says that it's gotten to a point. This is someone telling me about his conversation with him. Because in this business, you never know what's going to happen, that you just got to get used to the fact that it's inevitable. I mean, he seemed a little too comfortable losing 22 people in the first years.
Jesus. That's like, I remember seeing like a video recently, like back in the 90s or early 2000s, there was some police chase and there were two different news agencies that were covering the chase. And I guess they were just both looking at the ground and they weren't looking like in the air and they just crashed right into each other. And like their screams was broadcasted on live television as they're like sinking. So crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
it probably worked for that guy. That's probably two of the 22 right there.
Well, I told you a story today that I prepped a job that went out and it came back early. And when we asked what happened to the shoot, he said they were with a bear and the bear went wild and killed the trainer on set.
Oh,
so
that's a big old fuck up.
That's happened.
That sounds like a nightmare, huh, guys?
I mean,
losing life on set. What a nightmare.
Hazard pay, baby. Hazard pay.
Really?
Up my rate if you want me to
workers
do this.
Workers comp, son.
Yeah, my buddy was shooting with a tiger the other day, and they wanted him in the room, but they just like, fuck that. I'm not hanging in the room with a tiger. It's like, I'm not hanging out in a garage.
Like, that's a wild tiger.
It's like, no, we'll it's be outside. You stay in here and pull focus. No, I'll pull focus from outside.
It's got a leash on it, man. It's safe. No, it's all slack. There's no tension on that leash.
Well, it's kind of like, it's sort of a depressing topic, but that makes me think of that Sarah Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was also an AC, right?
Yeah, she was a second AC in a train accident in Georgia.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that was already...
What was that about for listeners that don't know about
it? She was on they were shooting on a trestle, and they didn't have permits, and they didn't have... they were not supposed to be there, and they were shooting a scene with a bed, and I guess a train came around the corner, and they were on the trestle, and somebody's trying to get the bed off, and the train, I don't know if it hit her and dragged her or what happened exactly.
That basically just careened through, like, the entire crew. Like, they're on a bridge, basically, so they could not run anywhere.
Oh, yeah, if you see the pictures of the bridge, it's like there's no orbit over the side to go.
Yeah, and she was killed, and other people were injured, and it's still going on. It's a huge thing. Because no proper safety precautions, they weren't supposed to be there. They didn't have the right train personnel
with
them. That's
crazy that it's a production big enough to have a crew that big, but stupid enough that they wouldn't get any permits to make sure that you could actually
do that. Well, they tried. Yes. They got turned down for the permits. And like, let's go anyway.
They're like, yeah, it's a
smaller size. It's not like they rolled up with trucks and set up like the circus. Like, it was a smaller
crew. But it doesn't sound like one of those where it's like, hey, guys, we don't even need to bring a tripod. It's going to be a real skeleton crew. Like, it didn't even sound like a skeleton crew.
Yeah. I think they were like 20.
I'm sure, at least.
That sounds like so many people to not have the proper permits.
Well,
like, all it takes is one police officer coming by and shutting it down. It's like, that's like a $10,000 day right there that you wasted.
And that's why they tell you, if anything happens, like, don't try and save the gear. Just leave it and run, because your life is more important than camera lens.
Covering your life insurance is way more expensive than replacing that camera.
Well, it's kind of an issue, too, because, like, the younger camera assistants, like, if you're a second and you're working for a big first and they want you to do something, like, you don't want to say no, and you kind of want to do your job, so... Sometimes it's an issue. Like, you got to, that's why people have to be aware of what's going on and stand up. And
have you ever been in a position where you were concerned for your safety?
Not truly concerned.
Right now.
Being locked in a room with me and Andrew, the one with.
Well, it's kind of ambiguous and vague what you're going to be doing to me in here. But,
dude, I didn't even dose you with that many drugs to go to you here.
I haven't felt concerned for my safety, but there have been times where, like, the AD staff should have spoken up and given a proper safety meeting to let you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in the limo driving through, like, you go through a red light and, you know, all those near-miss cars. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in that, but the camera crew didn't know that there were these other cars, so they thought that they were going to be in a huge accident, which they weren't, but just not knowing what's happening. You never.
Oh, so they didn't even know that the other stunt drivers were on the street?
No, exactly. Because you're supposed to have like a safety meeting before the shot, like saying what's going on in the shot. If anybody feels uncomfortable, let me know. Like, we'll take care of it. Like, that's how people have left.
Was that
part
for like a car commercial or something?
No, that was actually for a Universal movie.
Damn.
That was my first job when I was a camera PA on a Universal movie called Stretch. Hmm. Which is awesome. Did not get released, but it's on iTunes and it's Joe Carnahan and it's very cool.
Oh,
and
cool.
You should watch it. A lot of A-list actors. I don't know why it didn't get a release, but it was a Blumhouse movie. They do like Paranormal Activity.
Probably because of all the risk management issues.
Well, it was a micro budget production. I think it was like three to five mil on just photography.
Oh, okay.
And it was like 6 or 7 total.
It's like a
budget.
Basic Lifetime movie budget.
But yeah. It's worth more to them to not release it than to put it in theaters. Yeah, it's actually really good.
Yeah, who's in it?
Chris Pine, Patrick Wilson, Jessica Alba, Brooklyn Decker, Ed Helms.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's crazy.
Jessica Alba's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Decker's fine too, but Jessica Alba's gorgeous.
Have you ever seen her first movie?
Whose first movie?
Jessica Alba's.
What's her first movie?
Idle Hands.
That's her first movie?
Devin Sawa.
Devin Sawa?
Wow. Yeah, buddy.
I didn't even know she was in that.
And Eldon Henson and Seth Green.
Seth Green? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I watched Final Destination recently, but not Idle Hands.
Oh, Devin Sawa. He makes me uncomfortable.
Now and then?
Something... SLC Punk?
That's right, I forgot.
Way back when.
That is way back when.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
All right, wait, hold on. Okay, so let's rewind. We went on quite some tangents. So you're finishing up your second year of Panavision. You're finishing up your second year of Panavision, and what does the end of that program look like?
So the point of that program is every day you work with new camera crews that are working on different projects.
Okay.
So, and you spend all day with that camera crew solving their problems. They're like, if the lens is off, like you're basically the liaison between the camera crew and Panavision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anything they need and need fixed and changed out, like you're the guy to go to. So in that whole year, A, you're learning a ton. You're learning how they prep, how these different guys build their cameras, all these little tips and tricks. And B, you're meeting all these people. And there's a lot of like recurring ACs because the same DPs go with the same camera houses and you just build these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of the program is after 2 years, you've met this network of ACs and that they'll theoretically hire you once you leave Panavision. And then you're in the field, what they call it. And you start working freelance and getting job after job.
No, that sounds like an amazing program.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'd recommend it to everybody I talk to that wants to get into camera because it's not an easy thing to get into. And
when
you work at Panavision, there's legitimate projects with real deal guys that are coming in there and you make the right relationships, you can get on the right path.
How quickly off of finishing up at Panavision did like contact from your network, like were you able to cash in on it?
It kind of worked out perfectly for me. Because for people that don't know me, and you know, I like to go away and like go on trips and do my thing. So
yeah, you're quite the travel
star. Yeah. Well, so after Panavision was 2 years, I'm like, all right, I need to go away for a little bit. So I had like a 2.5 month kind of trip away.
Did like a Euro trip type deal, right?
I went to like, well, I was in Israel. I was in New York. I did Sasquatch Music Festival outside Seattle.
Cool.
I went to San Francisco. Kind of like was just visiting my friends all around the country before I like locked in and started working, you know?
Right. It was like you're like summer break.
Yeah, exactly.
Like one of those deals.
Which shouldn't exactly – I was still young enough to realize
that. Hey, man, you just worked for 2 years straight. You deserve it.
Yeah, so then
– I'm sure you took other vacations.
But then that movie Stretch with Joe Carnahan was starting shooting like in July or like late July. And the timing worked out perfectly. I got in as a camera PA to that and with Jared Oswald is a great first I worked with a lot. He came into Panavision. And he hires me a lot, and from then I met other people, and then they lead you to another job, and you just keep meeting and meeting and meeting, and as long as you keep with it and keep talking to people, let them know what you're doing and ask them what they're up to, like, work will come.
So what would you say is the biggest factor in making people like you on set? Like, is it just as simple as just doing a good job on set, or is it like birds of a feather stick together, or?
It's both. A, you need to know what you're doing. You need to have a little background because you're playing with such expensive and very, like, big equipment. The equipment's big. It is heavy. It is glass. It is breakable. Like, you can't just show up on set and say, I'm an AC.
Right.
You need to know how everything works, how it works together. So that was what Panavision was. And then, obviously, it took a while. There's a whole another monster of set protocol.
Yeah.
There's a whole lingo to it. There's a whole protocol of... when you need something from other departments. And so that took a little learning. That's basically what Stretch was, because Stretch was like 5 weeks as a camera PA. I didn't have true responsibility because I was just a PA, mm-hmm. so I couldn't really get in trouble, but it was a great experience to learn all that stuff. So it was like boot camp.
Okay.
So I did 5 weeks of like using the gear in the field and all the set protocol, and I feel like I was good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, but a lot of things in the industry, you find people you work with and you work well together, and you try and keep that team going because you can communicate without saying too much and you know what they like, and it just makes your workflow easier. So a lot of crews, they stick together. Yeah. So you got to find your different groups and who you work well with and hopefully just ride it.
Is it hard because I know, you know, a production finishes and then you go off and it's like, are you calling other people and saying, hey, do you know of anything, or does stuff just come in, or is it a mix of both of those kinds of things?
Definitely a mix of both. I've been lucky where I haven't had too many dry spells with work, but obviously there are weeks that go by where you don't talk to anybody, you don't hear from anybody. You're like, oh shit, when's my next job going to be? Like, I need to make some money this month because it's a freelance.
Right.
So I've had a week or two's off, and then who knows? Then that night you get a call and it's like, hey, you're free for a movie for the next 4 weeks. Or mm-hmm. So there are moments of that. And if there is ever a lull like that, like if a whole contact list of DPs and ACs and marketing reps, and you kind of throw like a blast email and text message, phone call, just.
Gotcha.
So you keep like a little black book or like a little Excel spreadsheet of all
these
names?
Yeah, like a spreadsheet of everybody and all my call sheets and just in my phone of everybody I've worked with. And there's no shame at all in just saying, people know that it's freelance. Yeah. They want to help
nature,
you out.
It's like, the nature of the business.
Hey, what do you got going on in December? Looking kind of slow, and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then there are other times like you're on one job and then either who you're working with will get a call that day and they'll say, oh, hey, you free next week, Tuesday, Wednesday? And mm-hmm. like I did a Childish Gambino video on Friday. It was an overnight. And then the first I worked with John Ruiz, he got a call for Washington Mutual commercials Tuesday to Friday this next week. So he just turns to me. He's like, hey, what are you doing next week?
I'm
like,
cool.
Oh, I'm free. Let's do it. So, and then I'm working on next week. So
yeah. There you go.
It's a mix of both.
So how much time did you get between the call for that Childish Gambino music video and when it actually was? Was it like the night before or what, like how much?
That was a couple of days before, okay. But yes, that also varies.
Is like, that the general, yeah, like what, like what's
if
the
it's
range?
Usually if it's a feature, there's a lot more prep and pre-production that goes into it. So you got to know, put your pieces in place before you shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be like anywhere from a month to like a couple weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
TV shows, depends, like the smaller the project, the less notice you get, I've noticed. Like if it's a TV pilot, like a week or two before, but
right.
Also, I mean, I could get a call right now and say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? So if you're just day playing, you're filling in, they need someone to fill in for somebody for a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it all differs. You never know when your phone's going to ring. So I've learned to pick up the phone when I don't know what number it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, like before I started working in this industry, I was like, no number, like I don't recognize this number. They could leave a message.
Yeah.
But now a number I don't recognize means it's probably a job.
Yeah. And yeah. In this business, no matter what you're doing, whether it's behind the camera, in front of the camera editing, like you got to talk to people.
Yeah.
You got to have a connection. You got to pick up the phone. You got to write emails. You got to have face-to-face. There's no hiding behind social media and production.
Do you do much networking outside of work, or is it pretty much all you're working that... That's where you're hanging out with these people anyway.
Mostly. I mean, there's definitely a handful of guys that are closer friends of mine that I'll see outside of work and like we'll go out and hang out. But
yeah,
for the most part, most people I work with are, I guess, my work friends.
Yeah.
Like I usually see them on set.
Right.
But like, I mean, when you rap, you go out to beers after and like you hang out. But yes,
right.
It's like a whole different, I call it the circus. It's you, people jump on, people jump off. I mean, you say you're shooting at wherever you're showing up, all the trucks roll in, set up shop, you shoot all day, go down, go to the next location.
Yeah.
It's like you set up the tent, it's different people, different places, different story, and you see some of the same people across different projects. So
yeah,
it's just a giant circus is what it is. It's fun.
So I have a question about reels.
Okay.
So is it important for an AC to have a reel? Because I know, like, for some assistant editor jobs that I've applied for, they're like, can you please show us your reel? And it's like, do you even know what the job of an assistant editor is? Like,
yes.
Like, I literally, assistant editors don't get any creative decisions whatsoever.
That's funny, yeah.
So it's like, and, like, what the fuck?
Well, editors have reels, of course. But
absolutely. Because it's not like, this is my range of shit I could do. But an AC is like, this is how I handle
lens.
No, it's
the same like, for, imagine, like, the AC, whether you're a first or a second, they're the assistant editor to the DP. The
right.
DP mm-hmm. is the one that has the reel because he's the boss.
Yeah. Right. He's the one that's in charge of the vision.
Yes. Now, first assistants, they pull focus. So, mm-hmm. yes, I mean, no, they don't have reels. But you could make a reel for a first, as you have argued.
Focus pulling?
Yes, just to see the testament of their skill.
Focus pulling reel.
Yeah. It sounds funny now, but it actually...
No, I actually would love to see that. Like, I would love to see a highlight reel of focus pulling where it's like, that was some amazing pulling right there.
I want to see a reel of just crane shots and nothing else.
there's cool reels of, like, all Steadicam shots, like one long take.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure,
yeah. And, like quadcopter reels, like...
But like focus pulling, nobody even notices when it's happening to them on screen. It's all like a subconscious input. So you're not going to watch a focus pulling reel, and 99% of the people who watch it just think it's a visual reel. They don't know the technicality and what's actually going behind making that shot.
So no one has ever asked to see your reel before saying yes to a job.
No, and I've never turned in a resume for a job either.
It's all just like word of mouth stuff.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to the higher level and you're DPing stuff and you have interviews with the producers, like then you'll have resumes and reels. But like just as an AC, it's all, hey, I need a good second. Who do you know? Or who's a good focus puller for this job? Who do you recommend?
Yeah.
So no resume, no reel. Just a one-man band.
Business card? Anything?
I do have a business card. I have a nice business card.
Yeah, you actually have a pretty cool business card. It's very high concept design.
I know. I think I need a new one, but I did like that one. I think it's time for a new one. It's hard. It's like a tough plastic, so you can't just crumble it up. So even if you don't like me, you can't just toss me out. You're stuck with it.
Yeah.
That's genius.
It's just sitting there. You can use it. You can open doors with it.
It's like handing someone an object.
Break into places. Yeah. You don't want to ruin a perfectly good credit card.
There you go. Give you some business cards.
Oh, my.
Do you have any more questions, Andrew?
Nope, that's it. That's I lost interest a while ago.
Okay,
well. I've actually been sleeping this entire time.
You know what we haven't done in a while?
Whatever.
These are some sound bites from the Dawes childhood.
Hold on to your butt.
These are some fucking sound bites.
Sound bites.
Super cool sound bites.
This is a chopper!
From the Dobbs childhood.
Get ready for some sound bites from the Dobbs childhood.
Not like this.
So this is a trivia game that I've put together called Sound Bites from the Dobbs Childhood.
Okay.
Where I take little snippets from movies that were from my childhood, and you have to guess what movie they're from.
Okay, I could be good at this.
The winner gets... Let's see, what did they get this week?
You didn't have a prize already set up for this?
I gave you a drum set when you walked in, so I think you've already won.
Okay, so the winner gets a discarded six-year-old girl's drum set.
Yeah, no, I don't want
it. Hello Kitty stickers on it.
You can have that.
Okay, so I'm walking away with it. Okay. So the winner either gets to not take that home or gets to take that home, depending how you look at it.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so we're playing for a little girl's drum set. Okay, so the way that it works is I'm going to play like little short bites. You ring in by saying your name. So if you know already what movie it's from, you just say Brian.
How do I say Brian? That's my ring.
Say Brian.
Yeah. Brian.
And I'll call on you.
Okay.
And then if you're wrong, then Andrew gets a chance to steal.
Okay.
And most likely you'll win because Andrew really sucks at this game. And even though he's in the movie industry, he doesn't know anything about movies.
Is this the inaugural playing of this
game?
Oh,
no.
No?
Is this what?
Is this the first time you're playing this game?
Oh, no. We play this almost every time.
Oh, okay.
It's just that
I've never won.
I've missed the last couple
Is JJ usually the shark?
Yeah, JJ usually wins. It's either between JJ and our guest. I think I've won it once, and I win by stumping you guys. So I get a point if neither of you get it.
All right.
Yeah.
But, Brian, since you and me pretty much watched movies together all of middle school and high school, you'll probably get most of these.
It's totally fair for me.
And also, since I'm playing this off YouTube and you have a perfect view of the screen, you need to look away because
I'm blind as a peer. I tell you what, I'll take off my glasses.
Oh, genius.
Oh, there we go.
I can't see an inch in front of my face.
We should just always have guests that have glasses so they can take it off. That would be much easier for us.
Send us your vision report.
I can barely see the top.
Or get one of those like office screens where like if you're like 5 degrees like variance, it just look like a black screen to you.
Can we get an eye chart in here and just have them read it?
That's a good test.
Can't do it.
S.
Okay, guys, so this is the first clip. This is the first
clip. It's just audio, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, please play.
Oh, boy.
That's why you gotta have a guy for this, man.
This is rough.
You need a guy.
Faster internet, apparently.
See, it started off with me being the guy, and then it turned out I had a personality, so they wanted me on the show.
I never said I wanted you on the show.
Fuck you, you German ancestors, Andrew.
You know, I think that you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
Oh, that's Joe Pesci.
So far, so good.
Tomorrow morning, I'll get up nice and early, take a walk down over to the bank and walk in and see you. And if you don't have my money for me, I'll crack your fucking head wide open in front of everybody in the bank. Oh,
God. And just about Pesci in every movie.
Yeah, when I was talking about a bank.
Hopefully, you'll be coming out of your coma. And guess what? I'll split your fucking head open again. Because I'm fucking stupid.
This better not be a bad Joe Pesci movie.
This is not a bad Joe Pesci movie.
What the fuck is he talking
about? This is like an iconic joke.
This is one of the top. This is one of the top Joe Pesci movies.
No.
Yes. Look, Brian, I picked this bite. Don't argue with me here.
I might abstain and just see.
Look, if you don't know the answer, then you don't know the answer, and it's a point for Nadav.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't. And you played like a whole monologue.
Yeah, that was like
which you never do.
That's right. Last time I did that was when I did the Glengarry Glen Ross monologue.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't get that one either.
Nope. All right.
I have no clue.
Okay, you guys don't know?
I don't know.
That's Joe Pesci from Casino.
Oh.
See, like, it's
like, no, that's a hole-in-the-wall mom-and-pop flick that no one's seen.
I was about to say Casino, but I thought that was too... I don't remember
but
that.
But when does he talk about...
Yeah, there's no penalty for being wrong other than you just don't get a point. There's no
when
negatives.
When does he talk about a bank? What does he ever do with a bank?
Are you questioning whether or not that's from Casino?
Yes.
Well, I assure you to not do that. You know what? Put your glasses back on so you can see that it is from Casino.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
That's Casino.
Oh, that's from Casino.
Oh, that's from Casino.
Oh, very good. All right. Nadav has 1 point. Everyone else has 0 points.
All right. I get karma points for knowing who it was.
You get nothing. All right. Here's the next clip.
Hey, you guys want soup?
Sure.
Yeah. 3 orders of wonton soup. Some fortune cookies.
Dude, where's my car?
Who said that?
Who said what?
I think that's about it.
Brian.
Yes, Brian?
Dude, where's my car?
Ding, 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 ding.
I just watched that like 2 days ago.
And yep. Then?
No, and then.
I like how you didn't do the Sean William Scott one. Or was that him?
It was coming up.
No, but that was like the other actor, right?
Yeah, that was Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, that was Kutcher? Yeah, all right.
Okay, this
I'm also deaf. I'm deaf and blind.
Well, you got headphones on.
Yeah.
How does it feel to lose to a blind and deaf person, Andrew?
You're
Helen
Keller.
You're literally just about to make Helen
Keller. She's also mute.
And dumb. She's blind, deaf, and dumb. And you're losing to someone that is all those qualities. Here's the next clip.
BEA beautiful.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Really? This movie taught me how to spell that word. One of our good friends.
It's Jim Carrey.
Dude, one of our good friends' mom was in this movie, Brian.
Brian.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, you can't like
that. Shit, man. I'm sorry.
That's terrible.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, that was bad.
All right, so you know what, Brian? You only get to guess. So Andrew gets first guess because I fucked that up.
It's it's got Morgan Freeman who plays God.
Yeah, okay, you're on it.
Okay.
You know.
Andrew Bruce Almighty.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
Yeah, dude, you know that Jordan's mom was in that movie?
Who was she?
Lisa Ann Walter.
Like, Jennifer Aniston?
She was Jennifer Aniston's sister.
Sister.
Oh, the one that you were talking about getting on?
Yeah, Cups and Balls.
Right.
But she'll probably say no. She's probably too big shot. Sorry, Lisa.
Sorry you're too famous. For
she's
us.
An attractive lady.
Yep, she sure is.
I like the face.
Wait, so Andrew got that one. Oh, so it's just ones across the board right now. Yeah, everyone's got 1 point.
Wow, it's anybody's game, but
here comes the tiebreakers, guys. I don't think either of you will get this one.
Great.
Okay. I want you to tell me what these fellas look like.
Andrew Fargo.
Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
There you go.
In what way?
Nice.
I don't know, just funny looking.
When I got a right answer.
Can you be any more specific?
Oh, funny looking.
I know they were kind of funny looking.
Just in a general sort of way.
Did you ever watch the TV show?
I heard it was really good. I've been meaning to watch it either,
but people say it's great.
Oh, I really want to see it.
Oh, someone just got signed on for the next season.
Yeah.
Like, who is it?
Someone big, because...
Yeah, like, I made the headline. I even tweeted it.
I don't know. I didn't check my deadline.com this morning.
Jesus. Yeah, guys, if you follow Early Call Time on Twitter, sometimes... I will tweet out Hollywood headlines.
Where's your live tweets going on during the
show?
Dude,
we don't have like a tech boy over here to like be doing. We need to get a tech boy.
A computer. You can live
we need
tweet.
To get a boy.
Like a best boy?
Or a girl.
Yeah, get
we, need a,
boy.
We just need to get like an intern girl. To like run the boards
transgender,
and stuff.
Transgender, that's fine.
Yeah, you get them. Once you hit like, once you hit 50, you need 50 interviews.
Yeah. Once we hit the 50 mark, that's when we're big deals. 50, that's right. When we're big 50 time
or 200
podcasters.
Views.
Same amount of listeners, but.
Okay.
But double the interviews.
Holy shit. Andrew's winning. Brian, you need to get this next
this
one.
This is historic.
And Brian, I think you will get this next one. Oh. Brian, you better get this next one.
Come on, mate, come on. Now, don't move it now. Otherwise, people will see the damage. What'd you do that for?
I didn't see it there.
It's a 4-ton truck, Tyrone. It's not as though it's a packet of fucking peanuts, is it?
I don't want to just say
it. It was at a funny angle.
It's behind you, Tyrone. Whenever you reverse, things come from behind you.
Control that dog as well.
I mean, Brian Snatch.
Ding, 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 ding.
You never know what those accents, because there's quite a few movies
like,
by
it's
now.
It's got to be a guy. It's either Guy Ritchie or Guy Ritchie.
Like some shitty Jason Statham.
It's either Lockstock or Snatch.
Like Bank
or Job
or whatnot.
Yeah. Something with Marky Mark. No, you'd hear Marky.
Bank Job.
Oh, my God. I found an amazing clip of Mark Wahlberg back when he went by Marky Mark.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because he was just saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, like, he was putting 10 of them in, like, to every sentence. He's like, yes, you know, like, when I write my songs, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, about, like, you know, just, like, living your life. You know what I'm saying? It's just, like, you know, I'll play it next time. I'll play it next time.
Let's talk about it, tell you how funny it is, but then not play it for you.
Should I look for it now? I don't even know what to search for.
Nah, you're inept. It's okay.
Well, fuck you too, Brian.
I'm sorry.
You're welcome for being on the show. You know, this is usually the part where I tell people, hey, you there know, if you guys want to hire Brian, how do they? But I'm not going to do that.
It, was more of a, it should have been a more padded nap than it was.
Fuck, well, it's a tiebreaker now.
You don't have another one ready to go?
No, it's five. It's five.
You gotta have like.
It's five every game. Well, you know what? You guys
didn't think of this.
You guys get the drum set.
No, you guys get to now split the prize, and the prize is you don't have to take the drum set home.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're going to take part of the drum set home.
And the loser, which is me, has to take the drum set.
Well, since you want the drum set, and we can each, what if we take a piece of a drum set, then you don't have a complete set at home? Would that make you mad?
What kind of hell do you try and live in, Brian?
What?
You're just like, here, let's have
the
no
last
one
two things I said to you came
set.
Off wrong. I'm sorry. The last two things I said to you came off badly.
You're just
everyone
trying to hurt
loses.
My feelings.
I didn't mean
I swear
that.
To God,
you.
Brian.
I know that's bad. I'm sorry. I love you. I didn't mean that.
I'm a sensitive bi.
I know.
You like dags?
You like dags?
I like
Brian
dags.
Snatch.
Very good, Brian.
You should
very
just
good.
Do impressions yourself. And then that way you can't be involved.
What I'd like to do is just have like a feedback loop of a caricature of a character of myself. So I'm just constantly just feeding off of impressions of me doing me doing me.
Have you ever had somebody on the show that does impressions
of me?
No, not of anybody.
I don't know. Did we?
No.
Maybe Jack. Maybe Jack Rutkowski.
I was gonna say maybe Jack did.
No good one.
He's the voiceover guy for all like the Beachbody videos.
There you go.
He's the one that did our intro.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
These are some sound bites from the Dobbs childhood.
Yeah, he was real nice about it too. The first time we did it, he mispronounced my name for like the first five reads. And then I felt bad because I didn't correct him. And then I just had like a whole bunch of times of him not saying my name right. And then.
Then it gets awkward.
Well, yeah.
Just tell him your name's Josh.
Like I do at Starbucks.
Yeah.
It's just easier for me.
Is that what you say?
Well, because it's like I could either say my name's Nadav and then they butcher it and then I can't really pronounce, like I can't really
what's
recognize
your name,
it.
Nadav?
Or I could just say my name's Josh and be done with it.
That's a good idea.
But sometimes what I do is if I'm with a friend, I tell them that my name is what my friend's name is. So then when they order, the cashier is like, whoa, your name's Warren too? The guy in front of you is also named Warren. And then Warren is in an awkward position to be like, oh, no, his name's not Warren, but like he does this thing to make it awkward and now it's awkward. So can I just get a cappuccino?
Nice.
If people here for some weird reason think that you're cool and have a cool life and do a cool job.
Okay.
What, like, say they're still in college right now.
Okay.
What advice would you give to them so that they could do what you're doing now?
If you want to be a DP, you should use this advice, which I have not followed myself yet, but always be shooting. Always have a camera in your hand, always be taking pictures, shooting video, and you just got to keep, it's like a craft. You got to get better and better. You got to train your eye. So just keep shooting.
If you take a break, then you'll get stale.
You right? Got to keep a camera in your hand at all times if you want to be shooting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice. Old school. Well, guys, thanks for listening to Early Call Time. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on, we don't have an Instagram.
Have an Instagram. We just never,
never post it. Oh, like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes and all that good stuff.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for
sweet. Thanks for coming,
here.
Brian. Yeah. And with that, listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.